Hi, I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air. Isn't this Scott, Don't Call Me Steve, Schaffner?
Something like that, yeah.
Thanks for downloading the Off the Air podcast. I'm Chick McGee, that is Jess.
Hi.
And that's Jason.
Howdy do.
Howdy do. Emails?
Yeah, let's
Who wants an email?
Go straight into
let's
it.
Go right into it. Well, first of all, what are you eating?
Grippos.
Grippos are an acquired taste. People who love them, and people who don't like them. But you can get the barbecue coating. You can get that in a sprinkle.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
You can get it in a sprinkle, like a salt or a pepper. You can sprinkle it on your...
It's got a sweetness, yet
yeah.
some heat.
Yeah, it's got... Right? It's
I don't like hot. I like salty hot. I don't like...
Sweet hot.
Sweet hot.
Sweet hot.
I'm not digging this at all. I'm going to eat them. I'm going to power through.
Oh, you don't push through if you don't want to.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
You
I
sure?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, no.
Okay. First email. Chick, Jess, and Jason. This one's tight. Well, we won't say what the title is. You'll understand. I just started listening to the podcast a few weeks ago. Got to say, it's a breath of fresh air. You guys are really great together and never fail to put a smile on my face. The interviews have been great and very relaxed. Jess is adorable.
Aww.
And I never thought I would find myself saying that I am jealous of Chick McGee.
What?
And Jason, Jason, go Jason. And
Team Jason, go.
I heard you guys are toying with the idea of having a listener on the show. I would like to throw my name in the hat. I'm 25 years old, just got out of the military in June, and have some pretty good stories. 2 years in Korea, we'll do that. I'm living in Wheaton, Illinois, going to school. Want to go into broadcast journalism. So you could read as well as I agree to email as well as I can. Uh-huh. I realize that most of your letters end with not to kiss ass or anything. Fuck it. I'm kissing ass. You guys are awesome. Keep the audible chocolate coming. Audible chocolate. I like the sound of that.
Audible chocolate.
Audible chocolate. That's from Alex Poland. Thank you, Alex.
Poland.
Some of my favorite things are when two words are put together that never go together,
no,
but
right.
together
like
they're great.
Napoleon Dynamite?
Sure. That's a good one.
Manny Pacquiao? No, those are two names. Never mind.
Right.
What? What the shit, it says. Keep up the awesome job. I think Jess should eat milk duds on the next podcast.
Oh, those get stuck in my roof of my mouth.
I think that's why I want them.
From Chad.
Yeah. Do you like milk duds?
There's not a lot I don't like.
Well, how about malted milk bowls? Can we go that?
I'll eat those.
Because those go away.
No more than five at a time, like in a sitting, because I don't... It
you
seems like a lot of work. They're a lot of work.
Since when do you have a five at a time rule?
You'd be surprised.
No, five in your mouth at one time.
Right. Really? That's what you're going to do?
Jess is adorable. Right up. Do you see that?
Another one?
Oh. No. real quick behind the scenes, we were enjoying some Girl Scout cookies before we came on the air, so we should probably mention that.
I like Girl Scout cookies.
I love Girl Scout cookies. It's Girl Scout cookie time.
Were those the Dosey-Dos?
We had Dosey-Dos.
Those are pretty. I'm not a peanut butter cookie guy, but those are pretty good.
I like the chocolate one, not the Thin Mints. They look like Thin Mints.
You like the peanut butter ones.
The peanut butter ones. I don't know what the name of that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what the name of that is?
No. I'm turning your mic down. If only I had a picture of that.
That was a big chip.
That was a huge chip. Hey guys, and Jess, I am behind on my episodes. Just listen to you all talking about sneaking stuff into the movie theater. Jason's
mom. It was my mom.
Oh, I went to a new movie theater a couple weeks ago and almost went to a second movie.
Why?
Because you can...
You said that movie theater was dirty.
It was dirty. I was disappointed. I thought it'd be brand new and clean, and it's not.
It's not brand new. That mall's 10 years old.
And, am I talking? And they put the butter on popcorn for you.
Is there an optional butter pump?
No.
No.
No optional butter pump.
And you almost stayed for another movie?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have made it. I'm behind on my episodes, sneaking stuff into the movie theater. I wanted to let you know that my girlfriend and I get the little juice box wines and grab straws from the drink area on the way in. That way, that way we can sit there and drink through the movie. Cal, you might have a problem. Great way to make the experience better, but sometimes the end of the films are hard to remember.
Well, yeah.
You'll need an extra juice box, wine juice box for a 3-hour movie like The Hobbit.
There's wine juice boxes.
I don't.
You know what I think they are? You know, have you ever seen the coconut water that comes in? It kind of looks like a juice box.
Okay, sure.
I think they come in those.
Wine does?
Wine does. They've got a wine
individual serving.
Individual serving, like a Capri Sun.
Right.
Which, as a mother, will suck your will to live because sometimes those straws don't go in the way they're supposed to.
You really have to be careful because a lot of times you get it all over you and the straw doesn't.
That's true.
So would you call somebody out if they were drinking? You know, if you noticed it was like a little wine thing?
I wouldn't if they shared.
That seems a little rad. I don't think I'd turn them in either way. I wouldn't extort a
I would. Give me
alcohol.
Some of that wine.
P.S. By the way, there's a science fiction writer named Scott Sigler that has a shout-out to you in some of his audiobooks.
What?
He has a series called The Galactic Football League, in which there is a reoccurring color commentator named Chick McGee.
I hear a lawsuit.
I ask him if it was because he was a fan, and it turns out he is from Michigan and a big fan of the Bob and Tom Show.
Oh, that's nice.
Congrats. People really know you. We need to...
Galactic? Yeah, I haven't done any fact-checking on
that. We need to... we need to get the lawyers on that. No, that's very complimentary.
Galactic Football League.
Anything with Galactic in it, I'm all for.
Battlestar
Galactica. What the frack? Frack off. Yeah.
You're such a weirdo.
Yeah. You know the Off the Air podcast with Jess and Jason and me?
Some
is
other guy.
Brought to you by GoDaddy.com. Did you know that?
GoDaddy.
It's the world's largest provider of web hosting. Okay, I got it. I'm chuckling because the Super Bowl was recently played, and GoDaddy had one of the most controversial ads.
I don't think it was controversial. It was uncomfortable.
It was very and I think they meant it to be uncomfortable.
You can hear that.
And they were kissing.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Yeah, I love GoDaddy. I don't like the sound of kissing.
Yes. I like the other GoDaddy commercial that had the different people from around the world coming up with the same idea at the same time.
Yes, I like that.
I like that very much.
I think comedians should watch that and realize that happens a lot.
Instead of fighting.
Right.
Let's get together. Let's bring all our comedian friends together for one big show. No, let's not. GoDaddy.com. Go to ChickMcGee.com. Click on the GoDaddy banner, the one that looks like Bigfoot, and you'll get your new domain name for only $4.95, including a free one-page website, a personalized email account, photo album, and more. So enter the promo code McGee, M-C-G-E-E, no H, at checkout, or go to ChickMcGee.com. It's my fake name. I can spell it however I want. It's M-C-G-E-E, and click on the GoDaddy banner. GoDaddy has been very kind to the Off the Air podcast since way back in the beginning. So show them some love and go to GoDaddy.com.
Speaking of big, white, furry Sasquatch.
Yep.
And the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Did you see?
I just recently saw that commercial. I saw it last night, actually, for the first time.
Spicy something?
Spicy Jack or...
Was it Cheez-Its or what was it?
I don't know what
it was.
I
wish I could remember what
it was. But there's a guy sitting in the kitchen with his night vision goggles on, and his wife comes in and turns the light, and he's sitting in total darkness, turns the light. What are you doing? Because I'm guarding my...
Spicy something.
And she goes...
Wheat Thins.
Spicy Wheat Thins. And he goes, I'm guarding these with my night vision goggles. And she goes, who are you guarding them from? He goes, you don't know. Bigfoot might walk in. Or our next door neighbor, Ted. So she goes, all right, well, don't stay up too late. Turns the light out. There's this huge commotion. Turns it back on. Bigfoot's got him by the neck, squeezing him. And Ted runs in from next door, grabs the box, and runs out.
Pretty good commercial.
That's
pretty
funny.
Good commercial.
That's funny.
Big fan.
GoDaddy.com. Okay.
Yes.
Off the Air podcast. Hi, we're back. Did we go anywhere?
We did not go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, our first second-time guest on the Off the Air podcast.
Two-timer.
First two-timer. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Will Miller is here. Hi,
Thank
Doc.
You so much. And it was a it's a need-based invite. Whenever a therapist gets called in, it's a need-based. I don't know what the need is. I don't know what, as we say, the presenting problem is, but I'm here to
You're
help.
You're ready?
I'm ready.
Well,
to
this
help.
Is pretty much our Valentine's Day
sure.
episode.
Sure.
Is it really?
Sure. It's
yeah.
near it. Sure.
It will?
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Happy fucking Valentine's Day.
Well, sort of. I mean,
you have to say it like that.
You want me to do it?
Yeah, I think you could probably word it best.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay.
Well, this is news for everybody except the three of us sitting in here.
Mm-hmm. And some of our closer friends.
In October, Chick moved out and we no longer live together.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was more to save the relationship that we had. mm-hmm. what was left of it and to build it from there. Kind of.
Sure.
We're going to do this
differently.
I
knew you'd do it well. Yeah. I knew you would say it well.
Thanks.
Well done. You know, there's an air of civility and warmth and kindness mm-hmm. and valuing the friendship and the relationship yeah. mm-hmm. no matter where we go.
Yeah. And it was.
Well, as I've said, we certainly couldn't continue the way the right. relationship had yeah. become at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that I don't know if I was doing something therapeutic or not, but the only way that in my mind the relationship had a chance anywhere in the future would be for us to separate for a little while and maybe get a good look at it that way, because it couldn't, mm-hmm. it would have, if it had, and I certainly didn't have the fortitude, I couldn't have said.
You couldn't have stepped up and said,
I couldn't have said,
anymore.
This can't happen yeah. anymore. I, mm-hmm. I was willing to slog it through and see what was going to happen, but.
We, you know what? Actually, we went to Florida for a week with my family and mm-hmm. had a great vacation. Had a great vacation, and then came home, and it kind of presented itself like we're not on vacation anymore. We're right back where we were a week ago.
Is the variable then like conflict when the two of you are alone that gets eased when you're around other mutual friends and family?
I think that. I'm really good at faking it when people are around, wherever we are.
Mm-hmm.
Chick, on the other hand, will not fake it, and everyone will know if there's an issue. And I don't mean that with
I totally agree.
Not just with me, but
when I'm happy, I'm the happiest guy on earth.
Right.
When I'm sad, I'm the saddest guy you've ever
seen. And he's going to make sure everybody else sad too.
Well, I don't know if I would use the term make sure, Dr. Will. I have trouble hiding it.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Well, maybe the better way to say it is the people who know you and know you well instantly can read when
sure.
your mood is low.
Right.
Or strangers.
That's right.
Total strangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever's
right.
around.
Somebody driving by in a car.
They can feel it.
Slower than like 30. They're going to go, oh, hey, that guy's upset.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, so there were issues when we were, you know what? But I'm going to be really honest. I think that there were more issues when there were people around and dealing with. My family is very overwhelming. They're great when they're great, but they're also nosy and obnoxious and need to. No, everybody's family's like that at some point. I don't think sure. I'm saying anything mm-hmm. derogatory about. But
they live nearby and they're present.
Everybody
they're
lives
present.
In a mile of
they
me.
Care,
yes, and they're
they
present.
They care very much for her. And mm-hmm. and
an odd way of showing it sometimes, but yeah, they do. And so it was just hard. I mean, Chick was someone who. An only child whose both parents are deceased and kids are grown. And then my family is the total opposite of mm-hmm. that. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how old you are. We're still going to be in your life and we're still going to be in your business. And it's a lot to jump into for him. It was.
And so that felt like an effort to try and fit in and be part of that. So in other words, when you got with Jess, you got a whole...
I came with a package.
Yeah.
A huge package.
I don't think it
wasn't hard.
It wasn't hard or an effort, and they were very kind. I think subconsciously, I was very aware of the fact that the family that I have wasn't nearly as welcoming
mm-hmm.
As
that's true. Chick
Jess
has,
in my life.
Chick has a work family. Chick has his family, and
right.
and nobody was as accepting of me as my family was of him.
And it was embarrassing for me. It wore on me. I tried to make up for it in other ways, clumsily. And
you mean what you missed in your own family? Is that what you're talking
what
about?
What I missed for, I guess maybe
acceptance
I
of
wanted,
our relationship.
You know, nothing would have made me happier than. Blending the whole families and having a cookout in the backyard. But there mm-hmm. were, you know, often I've said off, we're off the air. I don't understand what it is about someone who doesn't have forgiveness in their heart. I just mm-hmm. don't understand that because I guess, I don't know if it's a selfish reason and I found out I'm very selfish, but I guess because I'm going to be the next guy that messes up and I'm going to need your forgiveness. So I would mm-hmm. forgive you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it.
But you didn't get it back. No. That's no. okay.
Well, it's not okay. I mean, it's not okay.
It's okay to feel that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, mean people suck.
And it's a bumper sticker. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shirt.
It's a shirt. Uh-huh.
But you know, when you grow up and you've learned to compensate and cope with being hurt, I mean, you know, that scab can be ripped off really easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when you happen to be, because you have a busy, active life, a great professional life, you're around people who treat you with respect and decency, even if there's turbulence and soap opera stuff going on, generally, mm-hmm. you know you're cared for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so when your prime family, when your related family is glaringly not that, that's a pain that doesn't go away. Yeah, you don't just shake that off.
What does Bill Murray say in What About Bob when Richard Dreyfuss goes, Bill Murray says, ow. Ow. Ow, that you're dead on, doctor. I think so, mm-hmm. you know.
And one of the things I tell, you know, my clients now are very often in the college, they're young people a lot of the times. And one of the things that I stress to them is people, I think generally, I just hope this doesn't sound too cliche, don't embrace when they have an artistic temperament. And you know, the artist is a different cat mm-hmm. than the math gene guy.
Okay.
And art, you know, the great psychologist Ernest Becker said, artists are the healthiest people because the turbulence that's inside gets spit out onto a canvas of any kind, comedy, a painting, music, mm-hmm. whatever it is.
Right.
You on the show, I mean, and I'm not just sucking up, I mean this descriptively, the well-deserved brilliance of your, I mean, I've sit here and marvel, and I look at you a lot. But you know what I'm saying. In other words,
scoop a little of that over on your left there.
So in other words, I'm just saying that. However, the other side of that is when you don't have an opportunity to get it out, mm-hmm. it's painful and it sits there and it's toxic. In other words, I guess what I'm saying, Chick, is in some ways it's a lifestyle issue for you. I think it's either you're like all out in mm-hmm. your art or you are completely withdrawn.
There's no in between, and he's like that everywhere in his life.
That's right.
He either loves you or he hates you, and mm-hmm. he will love you to death.
I'd like to think that
I know you're moving forward, but let's talk about throughout our relationship. Yeah. You'd smother it. You were smothering it.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, and it was, and I come from a family. I was raised by a single dad who. You don't need anybody. You don't need anything. You mm-hmm. take care of everything yourself. You don't share your business. And I did that. I've been married and divorced, and obviously the way I was working in relationships wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I took that same, you know, the same thing to our relationship.
When you first get together and there's this instant connection, it's a connection at a certain level, emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, spiritually, whatever. But in terms of lifestyle, people come into it, to state the obvious, with a radically discordant set of needs. How much need the classic is they have studied introversion, extroversion a lot. And introverts are people who need to get replenished by being alone. Being with people, even if you're forced to be with people, you're good at it, but it's exhausting. It depletes your energy. You get restored being alone. Mm-hmm. And an extrovert is the exact opposite. My daughter's is a classic extrovert. I mean, when she's home, she's just like, that's it. And she gets energized by being with other people. We are all one of that to some degree. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what happens in relationships, is there's never a perfect synergistic match. I will want to go out for dinner when Sally does not want to go out to dinner, something mm-hmm. like that, you mm-hmm. know? So if you think about that in its most broad strokes, it sounds like, among other things, the tension is not so much about the attraction person to person. That's been good.
Yeah.
It's the disconnect of the gears of the lifestyle that are not quite, you know, coming together. The teeth are not coming together. Mm-hmm. So that begs the question, you know, I mean, I'm proud of you because you made a choice to like pull away instead of grinding the gears down to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think you're in a place where you're trying to say, what could we do or possibly do to have what I need for a lifestyle and what you need for a lifestyle
mm-hmm.
Connect optimally? Because there's so much going for you. I'm proud of you. I mean, a lot of people don't do this well, and you're doing it very well.
We're doing it really well because it was that was probably the first grown-up decision I've ever made. But mm-hmm. I think it's.
And it's also a testimony to how much you love each other because you decided you were hurting that most treasured piece of this.
Yeah.
By being in the same lifestyle together. So it doesn't mean it's permanent. It means that you have to retreat and figure out
This is a tough one to say because I don't have a very high opinion of myself.
Mm-hmm. You know what? Others have it for you. Others have it for you. But when you are kind of frozen about that, You know, how is it that you get past that? I can tell you this, that it is psychologically invalid. your opinion of yourself is invalid.
So anyway, I had a lot of work to do, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, and it's been going okay. And
but Chick, mm-hmm, has that basic guy mentality where he's going to come in and go, okay, this is what we're going to do, but we're going to fix it, and it's going to be right, fixed, and mm-hmm, we're going to move on.
Yeah, it's going to be fixed now, and we're going to do it, you know, yeah, and by this,
and that's
and
a guy thing. And
it's like a weekend project.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And it was huge for me to, and this is going to sound crazy to everyone normal, and, but it sounds perfectly okay with me now, but I couldn't have envisioned, we go now, arguably we talk or text every day.
Sure.
And yeah, I don't want that to go away.
I don't think that'll ever change.
But if
it wouldn't change.
But
for
me to go 3 or 4 days, 5 days, 7 days, mm-hmm, 8 days without...
There at the beginning, we did. It was a week at a time. Probably, yeah, we didn't talk.
But without seeing her, that was, you know, even two or 3 days was a major... That was a problem for me. Mm-hmm. That was a big problem for, mm-hmm, me. I mean, even me thinking about, okay, I'm going to be on the road for a couple of days, this isn't going to go well for me. But as I told you yesterday, I am, and this is huge for me to say, I am very proud of myself because I have this new place I have. I am shocked, amazed, and incredibly pleased that I look forward to going there. Mm-hmm. I feel comfortable there. This is the second best place I've ever slept in my life. the best sleep I've ever had. I had, yeah, no idea this was going to happen. I stayed with a very close friend for a couple months, and that was great in its own way. And I wasn't looking forward to, or maybe I was and I didn't know it, but it was very frightening to try to, you know, get my own place. Like I've said, I haven't lived by myself, yeah, since 1978. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, right, always been, and this is another character flaw, and this is huge, everyone, for the podcast, for me to admit to anybody other than my friends, I am painfully aware that I go from relationship to relationship to relationship. And that's certainly not, you have to break that cycle. And saying it and knowing it are one or two things, and then, but doing it. And
right, it's not a character flaw. Your moral compass is solid. I mean, it's a symptom and a behavior.
But I don't want to, you know, I don't want
to. No, I don't want to just say that you are, because I've been in a relationship since I was 16, mm-hmm, in some, right, form. I've always been in a relationship. Right. And it's, as much, mm-hmm, as I would like to think that I could be alone, or as much as it, at times in my relationships, I've thought this would be so much easier if I was by myself.
You know, when you're kind of stuck with how you feel about yourself, and it's bottled up and repressed, to use that cliche,
right,
catharsis isn't always emotional projectile vomiting. It is sort of a leak over time. And I'm really proud because I think this project has had a phenomenal impact on you, because this, you know, you don't get to be this even in your
high-level
profession.
No,
you can't.
And
right.
I'm everyone listening, I'm expecting you, on my part, I'd like you to keep some of this a secret, just between us. And,
yeah, right,
and other than tell other people, just go download the podcast. That would be swell, obviously. But my kids and a very special someone and this project, this podcast, are my true loves.
Absolutely. And look what it's doing. I mean, it is already showing. It is evolving. You know, change isn't like a light switch. It is an evolution
time. But then I get caught up and I go, you know, and people always say, well, she's, you know, in her 30s and you're in your 50s. And that was a rock pushing up a hill to start with. But it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Not for us.
I mean, we would go places and people, you know, it would always be, oh, is that your daughter? That happened to us
maybe once or twice
over,
yeah,
4 years, mm-hmm, and people knew. But then I get to the point where, am I capable of, because my brain, there's a book, Your Brain's Not Your Friend or something, mm-hmm, where, you know, and then you go, okay, I can change it. People can change if they want it bad enough. And some things.
Absolutely.
You have to have something to change for, and, mm-hmm, some events change your DNA. I believe that.
But totally.
But then, back in the back of my brain, I'm like, is that possible? Mm-hmm. I mean, at 55, is that, can you?
Yes.
I would like to think you can.
Let me give you a little anecdote here. My wife, Sally, who was widowed very young, And you know, with two kids, 4 years old and 2 years old, and all of a sudden her husband died of cancer with no warning. And so she's now all of a sudden a single mother. It's not the path she was going to be on. So she's working with people in grief and loss. And she was at this event one time, and a brain researcher from our university, from Purdue, was talking to her. And she was asking about the brain. And she said, can you explain the brain to me? And her the way that, that this guy did it was pretty good. He says, make a fist and look through your knuckles and think about all those knuckles like paths down your finger. He said, when you have a thought over and over again, it creates a groove in your brain. People mm-hmm. sort of know this. It's like a little pathway. And the more you think that thought, the deeper it is. The example, you go to work every day. After a time, you don't have to think about, well, do I turn right here? Do I turn left here? No, right. You just do it automatically. Sometimes you get to work, you don't even remember how you got to work.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
So that's because those ridges are in there. Mm-hmm. When something changes, like she said, well, what about when someone dies? She goes, oh, that's significant. Because all of those ridges, which were carved into the habits of that lifestyle, mm-hmm. those people, those experiences, those events, suddenly you keep going down this path. You have to make, as he said, new ridges.
Mm-hmm.
You're making new ridges.
Right.
And that's it's a slow, slow process, but it's inexorable. I'm thrilled for you. I mean, I don't, whatever you're feeling about this, I'm elated, and I'm a professional.
Well, there's a lot of it that we've said. There's a lot of it that I'm very happy about. There's a lot of it that feels incredibly right. There's, and you know, I'm, of course, hoping for the best. Uncharacteristically, I'm not much of a optimist.
No, but it's also frightening because it's moving away from several decades of familiarity.
Right,
and that is no easy thing. It's easier to go back into the familiarity, even though you recognize cognitively, you know, that that's not where you want to be.
And if I can, and it's much more attractive for me, I mean, him, he appears much more attractive when he is independent, and
yes.
I can see that he can do his laundry, and he keeps his house clean,
mm-hmm,
and he does these
mm-hmm.
things. And I know those are all very simple things.
But
when we were in our relationship, he was very needy of my attention all of the time, and I don't
that's
mean
not
that.
True. Only 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
But part of that is
it was absolutely the truth.
But you, Jess, you enjoy taking care of things.
I enjoy taking.
No,
I don't know if that's a female trait or something. And
looking back, the first year and a half, it was.
I jumped into this going, I'm going to fix him,
yep.
And I know a lot of women do that. I'm not
mm-hmm.
the first woman to do that with him.
No,
let's
yeah,
be
exactly
honest.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
So. But I thought I was going to be different like every other woman,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to change things, and it was going to be better. And I did. And so for the first part of our relationship, but then that gets old.
There's a lot of pop psychology, I understand that. And it's easy to kind of spit back against that. But the fact of the matter is, it is not, I mean, yes, if it becomes dysfunctional for the relationship, the yearning and the need to take care of someone is actually a healthy thing.
Right.
It's when it gets beyond the border.
Right.
But in fact, when you have a need to be taken care of and you have this sense about, is this a part of myself that I like and I'm enjoying being nurtured like this? Or is this something that feels kind of old where I'm trying to make up for something I was missing, which seems to be there? So it's finding that balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one or the other. In therapy, we talk about reframing. In other words, I'm going to hold my hands up like you're looking through a window with a frame. And the therapist or health is like, you have to look at it from a new angle.
You have to tilt
it's a new frame. That's right. Now, what can do that? You can do that through talk therapy, through this. It happens through the experience of now having a podcast and being exposed in your real self. It can happen through trauma. It can happen through any change. It can happen through aging, etc. It's a good thing to be a nurturing peach, which you are.
Which I am.
Unless you have someone who's crippling, who's crippled.
But that's you overstating it.
It wasn't that bad. The thing is, too, let's acknowledge that there are a lot of people that rely on me to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have two small children.
Sure.
I have a little brother. I have two little sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I have an uncle. I have an aunt.
You're still tired.
Yes, and I'm still so it's not that. And for a long time, and I've always said this, that Chick was my escape from all those people.
Sure.
And then he kind of got lumped in with those people.
Right.
This is a lot of fun.
I don't think I've ever told you this, but I always saw it in my brain. Well, I've seen it in my brain recently. As you're the mama bird, and there's all these little baby birds in the nest,
mm-hmm.
and you have, and they're all, and I was daddy bird there for a while outside, trying to help,
Mm-hmm, sure.
But then all of a sudden, well, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to be the little
baby responsible for that too, because it's easier just to lump you in with these people and right. we'll just take care of everything at once.
But neither of these inclinations are bad. They're good inclinations. It's I'll age myself. When I was first learning to drive back in the day, you actually had to open the hood of the car and with a little screwdriver adjust the carburetor because it was idling too high or too low. Mm-hmm. And so the need that you have to be in relationships that nurture you, to give you what every human being wants, is a totally healthy and normal thing.
Well, it is, but I think I took it a little.
At the end,
the carburetor, the idle's too high.
Right.
That's
right.
That's it. Right. And for you, taking care of people, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It is, but the idle is too high.
It is, but the thing is that from what I know about your past relationships, and then I'm not going to dive into it a bunch, but I wanted to nip it before it got as far as those other relationships mm-hmm. did.
Yeah.
As angry and resentful and negative as some of those did.
I have never been at this point in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, I mean...
If this was any other...
Not in a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never gone this long, not... And I think Jess and I have a relationship. It's not what I want the relationship to be, but that's a good thing right now. Mm-hmm. Am I saying this right?
Yeah, keep going.
No, it's good. I mean, I would go from one to another to another to another, and I was well aware of it. Like I said,
Do you realize how good this is? This is just so good. I mean, it's just good. It's you know, you're reframing, you're making the adjustments. It's cathartic. It's happening. It's underway, and it's scaring the crap out of you.
There you go.
Well, no, I go along and like I'm having drinks with a friend of mine this afternoon, and he's going through some tough times, and I'm going to go help him, and I'm actually genuinely looking forward to it. And she's not a part of it. He's a friend of yours too, but you're not going to be there.
No, but I'm not a part of it in that there were times where he would have to go and do things and I wouldn't be there. And if you're not going to be there, I'm not going. The joke was, and it wasn't a joke.
Are you going to be there? Well, I'm going to have fun then.
Yeah. Are you going to be there? Then I'm going to be fine. Well, sorry, but that was a lot of pressure.
That's total horseshit on my part.
Yeah. And so I took on that responsibility of going, looking at him and going, is he okay? Is he in a good mood? Does he need his drink refilled? Whatever it was.
Instead of trying to break out of that on my part, I kept it rolling.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, let's gear up. Let's do this. Let's do this full force. But now you have said before that you are comfortable loving.
I am comfortable loving. I am not comfortable being loved.
Ding, 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 ding.
No, it's ding fucking ding.
Is that what I did last time?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so people loved it.
Yeah, that's I don't know where and I don't know how it happened, but I am comfortable being loved, and I like not knowing
No, you're comfortable loving.
I'm comfortable loving.
You're not comfortable being loved.
I'm not comfortable being loved. No. I don't know what it is, but I feel uncomfortable when there's so much affection towards me. And I know that sounds silly, and it and I don't mean it to sound like there's so many people giving me so much affection and I don't know what to do with it. That's not what I mean.
I know of one guy.
That's not what I mean. I don't know what happened in my life and we've talked about this. Usually he and I have been really therapeutic for each other.
True.
And we've
usually
talked,
usually yeah. when I wasn't being selfish, looking out for me and thinking, how can I turn this around into me?
No,
so
that's
I can,
not true. But
it's sort of true.
It is a little. but we can't figure out where it happened. Where I thought I enjoy the chase. I enjoy that part of it. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a relationship where someone genuinely loves me back, generally I don't want anything to do with them at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's terrible.
Okay, that's your show.
It's not.
Thanks for tuning in.
You guys, that made me sweaty talking about
it. Yeah, I bet so, because it's like me saying I'm needy and selfish. Yeah. And
You both have a distorted sense of yourself.
Yeah.
You have a distorted sense of yourself. It's completely invalid. My judgment about my judgment about who you are is more valid than your own judgment about who you are. And I am filled with admiration for you two. But I understand that you're suffering and you're in pain at some level, varying level, but it's complete horseshit.
Well not necessarily, Jess, but I'm sure you've seen someone who's comfortable loving but not comfortable being loved.
I mean, absolutely.
What is the classic trigger for that?
I don't know whose quote it is, but someone said, most of us knew who could name who we love, but we're not sure who loves us. And so there's a, you know, kind of an uncertainty. We can maybe name people who are needing us, mm-hmm. who need us, mm-hmm. Jess, right. honey, but not necessarily people who revel in needing me.
Right.
Who where there's mutuality. I mean, that's sort of the peak experience of the marital ideal. It's that you're both needy and both, you know, serve the need of the other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's really where it is. Well, lives are complicated, duh. And you come into it with baggage. And you come into it with lots of baggage, and you're artists. And it's just, you know, it's a cauldron of things, and it takes a long time to work that out. Why do most marriages stay together for a period of time? Because, say, in a traditional setting, you come in and you start having kids, and your attention is distracted an enormous percentage of your day and time with those kids. Mm-hmm. So you're not really looking at each other. And then all of a sudden, I see so many people, women more than men, who come to therapy with depression, and son of a gun, their kids are 13, 15, 17, mm-hmm. and they're already anticipating, they're gone, my role is gone, and I'm left with, oh, crap.
This guy.
It's you.
It's her again.
That's right. Right. Yeah, right. That's right. I mean, that's just a common environmental, circumstantial scenario. The reason I'm thrilled for what you're doing is people generally then blitz bail, find somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Ding, fucking ding, right
that's
here.
That's right. And you are resisting that impulse because you're saying, I can just see this being Groundhog Day and doing it again, and I don't want to do that again.
Well, that's not
with
the only
someone
reason.
Else.
Yeah, right. That's not the only reason I'm resisting the impulse. But mm-hmm. I mean, it's well documented how I feel about her, and
yeah,
and by her I mean Starbuck from Battlestar Galactica.
That's right.
I mean,
in other words, you see value in this that supersedes or cuts through how, in retrospect, you saw what your past relationships were. This feels different.
In retrospect, I would always say, okay, I would always say this in my head, no matter who it was, and I'm sorry to the three of you out there I'm talking about. There's one of you that's going to be able to take this in the way it's the way it's presented, and the other two are going to have some problems. But you know,
assuming they listen.
Well, anyway. Or you hear about it, which is even worse. But I would always, in those relationships, initially, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, it would always be in the back. There's probably something better out there. Or
sure.
There's, you know, if this goes to hell, this will be fine. Mm-hmm. Or, mm-hmm. you know, and that's absolutely what would happen.
Welcome to America. That's yeah. what goes on.
And,
I mean, that's
and
it.
And I'll... Like I always say on the air, I'll be at the old folks' home being a bully by myself and my, you know, before, you know, anything else.
As a result of what you're doing now, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, I'm...
You're changing. Your best days are ahead of you.
I know you're... but I hear that and you're... I appreciate you saying that and I hope you're right.
No, but I think your response to me is based on the assumption that I give a shit what your response is to me. I don't. I'm telling you factually what I'm observing about the two of you, and that you're going through seismic changes of understanding self that's painful, disorienting, unfamiliar, panic-inducing, and it will be a rumble.
It's
a reentry from space.
It is hard.
Yeah.
It is hard.
If I may jump in.
Nope.
I've been very quiet. I've known about this for a while, so mm-hmm. None of this is about me. Seeing Chick through this early on, especially when there were longer gaps between when he would get to speak, talk to, even text with Jess, what would drive him nuts, and I try to understand it, but it's whatever the brain's doing, it's the unknown. He doesn't know if she's doing okay. If mm-hmm. she's sick, is she being taken care of? Is, you know, and those are the simple ones.
Right.
They get worse and they get more ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, am I right?
Oh, sure. No. But we've had this discussion before about the creative mind.
That's right.
It's not just me singing stupid like I did this morning or saying something funny. I can turn that on myself and mm-hmm. it's no fucking picnic. Believe yep. me. Mm-hmm. The scenarios mm-hmm. I come up with
yep.
are
fucking insane.
They're fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the actor part of me
mm-hmm.
that I can somehow, which I'm well aware of and saying this out loud is hopefully another step, I can dredge up those feelings sure. of what if that actually happened, mm-hmm. and I am right there is how I would feel.
Well, let's visit. There, Chick and I traveled together a lot when we worked together. And I would fall asleep on the plane, or I would fall asleep in the car, and I would wake up.
This Don't is tell this, this.
Yes, I would wake up, and he would be livid. He would be so angry and so upset with me, and it would take me forever to figure out what happened. What happened? Mm-hmm. What I couldn't even like put it together. Mm-hmm. Like, did I talk in my sleep? Did I say somebody else's name? What did mm-hmm. what happened? Well, in his mind, he had decided that I was dreaming of someone else,
worse yet, I had fallen asleep and had a dream.
Or he'd fallen asleep or had a dream. But he would manufacture these untruths and then decide that they were true or that mm-hmm. they were eventually going to happen, and he would go ahead and get mad about them.
Yeah. I'm going to guess that given this scenario that you are less prone to do that, to state the obvious, when you're in the middle of a very distracting activity. In other words, if energy goes down, yes. you immediately
We've had that talk too before, the creative right. mind. We need. Absolutely. We can't be left alone right. to, I need to do that's things right. like a podcast.
That's right.
Like, you know, yeah.
If someone's not pulling you out, Elvis right. has left the building.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Where you go is different right. than where other people go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And
right.
that's really what you're dealing with.
Yeah. But, and that's my biggest struggle right now. I mean, initially it was not seeing you. It was, you know, just worrying like this a couple of weeks ago when you were sick. you have no idea. So, but now it's, I catch myself and I go, okay, that's just.
See, that's
is
good.
That silly?
No. Remember the grooves.
No.
Remember the grooves. I'm saying
yeah.
you're starting new grooves. You're going, is that silly?
Like,
that's a new groove,
just
baby.
Just don't think.
That's
just
right.
go to sleep. Just don't think. I can plainly remember. Are you aware of this artist way?
Yes.
This I took that like yes. I don't know. I'm going to say 10 years ago or something.
Yep.
And it was very. It was really beneficial, and I learned some stuff from it. But it's a self-improvement technique for artists, and you're supposed to be able to. But I can plainly remember the instructor saying, now, when you're controlling your thoughts, and I raise my hand and go, wait a minute, you can't control your thoughts. You can't control your thoughts. Whatever pops yeah. into your brain, you have to explore that. You can't go stop thinking. You have to, but obviously you can. But that was 10 years ago, and I'm still working with that. But that's my big one.
I don't think you have enough palettes, first of all. I mean, I don't know if you like to write or journal. That would be good for you.
Well, I have actually started to.
I think I told you that
journal
last time.
In kind of a secret way, and that really helps because
a secret way.
I'm not saying, but no, because there are things that go on. Oh, God, this is either the worst or the best podcast ever. There are things that go on that are really, really good and beneficial, and thoughts and things that are said and the way I feel. And for whatever reason, you know this, I forget them.
You do?
I totally forget them. Like
the good things?
The good things.
Yeah.
You forget
yeah.
the good things.
The good things.
That's why writing, that's why recording.
And I'm
you
the
know?
Exact opposite. I remember the good things and I forget all of the bad things.
That's yep. incredible. You should go with that.
always.
You should absolutely go
By
with
By the way,
that.
Can I say something to your yep. listeners? Your sure. listeners are a pretty diverse clack of really insightful people for whom this is incredibly instructive for them.
I hope
and
so.
And then there's a piece of your audience that are, you know, like mouth-breathing dolts, but they love you. And I just want to tell them, trust me, I'm a doctor, it's okay. It's really okay. Just calm down.
Hopefully
fine,
we're being funny
okay.
enough and we're being serious
well, I think
enough
so.
To
you
carry,
know, right.
carry us along.
No, but it's true. So I don't think you have enough artistic expression. I think the bad part of this career that you've got, which is great and a treasure, is it's 4 hours a day.
Well,
that it.
Was part of it because I would be home at 11 o'clock.
That's
and
right.
It was like
you need
married
something else.
Married people don't spend that much time together.
That's right. So you don't need something that's going to consume you or your right. activities. But I mean, I don't know if you've ever. I mean, see this. Don't laugh. I mean, like, have you ever tried painting? I mean, what's in you can come out. Try something. Try writing. Try painting.
Yeah.
Try something.
I've always wanted to write. I've always wanted to write a.
You should.
Really swell movie.
You should.
Fade in.
Did you see Finding Forrester? The writer of that script was pretty ingenious. It's the young African American kid and what's his name? The Scottish actor.
Sean Connery
plays a reclusive writer who talks this young fellow into. He has a real gift for writing. Is just sit down and write. What am I going to write about? Just sit down and write.
That's begin an incredible to Sean type. Connery.
So. Watch Finding Forrester and that idea. Now, whether it's writing, it may reveal something else, but you need not just this incredibly intense, high-octane, compressed 4 hours. You need to have something that keeps you creative, but not this energetically intense. Right. Something that's more relaxing.
Yeah, the 4 hours is pretty.
Like knitting.
Oh, something.
Sewing.
Something.
She knits and sews.
That's what I do. That's my tap.
This girl's a peach. She's an absolute peach.
Like I don't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not what
I can teach you how to knit. You want to learn how to knit?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could.
Something. But in other words.
No, I can't spend time with you that much.
No, but then we can work on projects together.
Separately. But it's a good exploration. It's a really good exploration to do that. You know, I got into photography, for example. You know what I mean? Photography was great.
See that damn video camera.
You want to make a documentary?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And you know, a documentary is accumulation of a lot of B-roll. And so you don't even have to go out.
I know.
With
that's what we need to start.
Just shooting.
We need to start taping. We need just to start
shooting. Why is he looking at me?
I don't know. What'd you do? How'd you get
know.
In on this?
I don't know.
I know nothing about it.
I forgot you were there and I looked over.
So his creative mind and the crazy thoughts he may have at times.
I don't know why you're saying crazy.
I don't want to say crazy. Crazy
sometimes
is not the best
they get
word.
A little out of hand.
I'm a simple man. I have simple words. that's not obviously he is very creative and he needs to get stuff out. But is a lot of that born in his insecurities with things with Jess? You know, they had a split. And maybe in his mind, this is just the first step of her just.
You know something, Jason, to tell you the truth, buddy, I actually think it's, pardon the Freudian cliche, I really think it's about the childhood stuff that's come forward that gets visited or acted out in this.
Well, how many times do we say that? We would have we would fuss, and I love that term.
I'd always say fuss because it was never a fight. Fights are so aggressive, fuss. And ours would be a fuss.
A kerfuffle?
Yeah.
Kerfuffle.
But there were many times where. I was yelling at my mother, and he was yelling at his mother. And
And she would look at me and go, "Hey, who are you fighting with right now?" And
I can tell you right now, this is my advice. It's time to put that bullshit to bed.
Well, and it took a lot for me because she, passed away sort of unexpectedly. And
how old was she when she died?
63.
Okay.
But I mean, she was, she was normal weight. I mean, she was, but she had a horrible diet. I mean, she wasn't obese or giant or anything. Or she didn't have to be airlifted out of her apartment or anything like that. I mean, but.
Let me ask you one other intimate question about that. When your parents died, was it at a particular time of the year? And was there any drama around the death other than the surprise of it? It was sudden? The death was sudden?
The death was sudden on your father's part. Very sudden.
My father was very sudden.
Was he younger? How old was he?
He was 43.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
Chick was 23.
Yeah. He had what I have.
Yes.
But he just didn't get it fixed and didn't know it. Yep. And he liked cocaine.
Yeah.
And that's it. A doctor told me it was just like flipping a switch.
Yep.
But
well,
with the passing of your father, there was a lot of drama because, A, your parents were not divorced yet. And your father was cohabitating with another woman.
And I had to go tell my mother.
And you had to tell your mother.
I had to tell my mother that my dad had died. And that was.
So in other words, forget all that stuff.
And don't get me wrong. I've come to the realization that I don't hate my mother. I don't think I ever did hate my mother. She just did the best she could.
Yeah.
And I miss her. I miss her sometimes too.
Yeah.
But she was a superhero. Her power was she could make anything about her. Mm-hmm. And when I told her that Dad died, and she passed it down to me, I'm totally aware of it. But I got the look from Jess.
You did. I saw it.
But, my dad's dead, and, she turned it into her husband, and they hadn't been living together for, I was 23, so for 5 years. So they were, and she was with another guy, too. I don't know how he felt about it when she hit the roof.
So
I felt sorry for that guy.
The 23, the hypocrisy and the cynicism.
And I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know that's what it was then. I just thought, my mother's being so weird about this. Why is she, I didn't know. self-centered hypocrisy.
Will this make it easy for you? Because let me tell you a story about me. Can I tell you a story about me?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Okay. I went into it when I was first studying to be a psychoanalyst in New York City. You had to be in psychoanalysis yourself. And so it's like three times a week. So cliche on the Upper West Side with a, you know, Janet.
Oh, just like
Janet. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, Woody Allen thing. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah. The first book I wrote for Nick at Night, I dedicated it to her. I said, to Janet, the woman of my dreams. So anyway, so here's something I knew about my life, that when I was born, I was in Brooklyn, New York. And when I was two, my mother had another baby, next boy, Robert. And Robert lived about 3 months and had something wrong with his digestive system and died. And it was a really difficult, challenging, oh, you know that as a mom, just like, oh, dear God. And, you know, the baby was in the house and died. So the baby dies. And so then another brother comes in about a year later. And so my mother at the time obviously was completely bereft and shattered as a young mother, and she left to be with her in-laws just to kind of cope. And so I experienced, and I didn't realize this until analysis, a level of very early childhood abandonment.
Yeah.
Well, I'm the only one in the family who's had cantankerous expressions and experiences with my mother, you know, just always and being really rebellious. It took me until I was 35 and getting into psychoanalysis, I realized, well, that's why I've been like this, because I never had anyone help me interpret
right.
what the source of that was. And that's a just frustrating thing when you know that there are chords and connections to your childhood mm-hmm. experiences, mm-hmm. but no one has helped you to understand it or interpret it. And you were too young when these things were happening to interpret it yourself. Well, shit and shinola, the hell do you think? You know, it has to be resolved in some way. And so you either express your feelings or you'll act your feelings. All right. And so that's why I'm so thrilled with where you are, because you have taken a stand. This hurts like a son of a bitch, but I'm not going to act those feelings now. I'm going to feel those feelings, figure them out, and move forward. I'm awash with a deluge of hope for you.
Well, I appreciate it.
It's the truth. And I ain't
good.
Going anywhere. And
thank
I'm
you.
Still here.
Thank
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
I ain't going anywhere unless I croak. But I mean, I'm here.
No, that's another thing. I'm glad you said that instead of acting on those feelings and feeling those feelings.
Yeah.
Right. Because Chick often took, if I didn't get extra upset, if I didn't cry, if I didn't yell, if I didn't get as emotional as he did, then I cared less. I loved less because, like I've told him, that's how he always felt like his mother showed her love, mm-hmm. is the louder she yelled, the angrier she got. Well, she's emotional. She's being emotional somehow, so it must mean that she loves me.
And in that scenario, would you then step in and be kind of a caregiver for your mother?
Oh, yeah. You would talk her down.
Sure, yeah.
So there we go. In other words, until Jess displays neediness, which
right.
is not what she often does, because she's a caregiver, not a needy person.
Right.
And she does not like to be vulnerable.
That's right. That's right. And so when that rears its head, suddenly it's, it's almost like a flashback in a way.
I'm remembering.
That's exactly what it is.
It's called, well, I'm sure you know this, the emergency room effect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I, for the longest time, was... And we would not be able to set our watches by it, but it would be 3 or 4 weeks, sometimes shorter, sometimes longer, but right around there.
It got longer, though.
It got longer.
Yeah.
But, okay, I need to...
He needs to...
Check in, make mm-hmm. sure she still cares, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Have
a big blow up. Get through the big blow up. Check in, make sure...
Until I cried. He wasn't happy until I cried, and then he would want to comfort me.
And then
me.
I would mm-hmm. comfort and console, and
that's
we would
right.
get to that
that's
point
right.
where the storm has passed, and now we're bathing in this. Okay, yeah.
And it's perfectly fair for you to use that rhetoric, crazy. He wasn't happy until I cried. But in fact, in this scenario, it's like he wasn't going to let go until you were needy.
Right, to the point there in the last year, I'd go, okay, go ahead and cry, because this will get over faster
right.
if
yep.
you cry.
Mm-hmm. Bless
and I know,
your heart.
That's a horrible thing to say.
No, it's
but
not.
It's,
you're both needy. That word you almost
But in a different...
Wrong. Absolutely.
In totally
different
ways.
Totally
that's right.
Different ways, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
It's all good.
How you
it's
doing?
Good.
You all right?
I'm good.
How you doing, Jason? What do you got? You look like you got something.
No, this isn't about me, unless you want me to make it about me. No, the one thing that I have, you know, I don't want to say I'm in the middle of this, but, you know, I love both of these two very much, just uh-huh. as individuals.
In yep. a guy way.
In a guy way. Jess may be a little different.
No, sure.
You know, and but I love the thing we do together.
Sure.
You know, so it was very tough for me. And I even had Jess come in. I'm saying, listen, this isn't about me, but because I'm with you two, I need to know things. And, mm-hmm. and you know, Chick and I are the same way. And the thing that I feel I can't give enough of, there's not enough of me because I have a family and and I have extra work to do on this podcast, that I couldn't be there enough for Chick when he needed me, you know, because he doesn't have that many close friends because it's tough for him to trust
people.
Well,
no, and that's another thing I wanted to, I'm
No, that, you, that's where I'm going. This
no,
is
but that's because of whatever, you know, and I'm grateful for it, but. And I can't imagine how somebody like Brad Pitt or George Clooney or the president or has anybody because
that you can trust and is
I can't.
And,
everybody, yeah. it's really few and far between friends I can make. And then it's just a silly little thing is, hey, you know, now that we're hanging out, can you get me some concert tickets? Or
yeah.
can you get my Bob and Tom t-shirt signed?
Sure.
Or, and I, and don't get me wrong, I'm just a guy. And
no, I hear you.
It's tremendously almost debilitating when you think, oh, well, we have this, you know, we have this friendship. Well,
and then the
it's
people,
not so much.
Yeah, and then the people that you do consider good friends or have for a long time have taken things you've shared with them and turned them around and shared them with other people that you wish they hadn't. It's really hard to find people to trust.
And incredibly hurtful.
Yeah.
It is. And can I say something that, you know, there are people who you get to know for a long time and you know after a long time that their moral compass is solid, that their character is right. rock solid. And it feels very different for someone in that crowd to ask for a favor or something that feels no pain at all.
Right.
But if you keep yourself relatively emotionally distant mm-hmm. from people and yet they're around you a lot, you don't really have a lot of time or enough time to move past that precipice where, yeah, this is rock solid. I mean, I'm in that position professionally a lot because, mm-hmm. you know, so many people in my position who become the object of symbolic emotional closeness.
Right.
For me to disappoint those people is crushing. It's just crushing. And so yeah. I have to be really careful about that. What I'm thrilled about is going back to this idea about the artist and expression. This is giving you an hour or 2 hours of doing exactly what we're talking about, moving past the intensity of this, staying in your wheelhouse of communication and talking. I mean, I think you should do all of this stuff. I think you should write. I think you should be spending time doing some recording, video recording, and it's just have it be cathartic. You know, it's wonderful for you.
Yeah. Well,
it's good.
It's all good.
And you know something? I'm trustworthy.
No, I know that. Yeah, I know that you are.
And I don't want anything from you. I don't want tickets.
Well, but you live way up in Lafayette. I mean,
no, but I'd come down. If I was going to be a user, I'd come down.
You'd like to have a...
It's not that far.
You'd like to come down and buy me dinner one night or something?
I would be happy to. I would be delighted to do that.
No, and another thing I found is that I am comfortable by myself, and that's
fine. Sure,
but every now and then I would like to, you know, call a guy friend up and go, hey, you want to go see a movie or whatever?
Well, like I said, if you're an introvert, which I think you are.
Which I
absolutely.
Think I very much am.
No, that's right.
And that's how I get this label. Well, you know, people will come up all the time and they're half joking, but they're mostly serious. We know you don't like to talk to people. And it's like, it's not that I don't like to talk to people, but here's my situation. Starting, I'm an only child.
Uh-huh.
I spent from the time I was 5 years old, pretty much until I was 18 by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 18, I got out of the house as quick as I could and moved somewhere out of state so that I could work and live by myself. And now...
And sit in a booth and play
and
records
sit in the booth,
by yourself.
And my big dream was always, I'm going to sit in this. I love music. I love being on the radio. What it does on the Bob and Tom show. I don't know what that is. I always say I fucked up in reverse and I'm thankful for it. But it's... I always go back to... Susanna Hoffs of the Bangles, she said in a documentary, and it really hit home with me, she goes, there's nothing more unsettling than someone coming up to you and talking to you and have a total recognition on their face and know everything about you, and you've never seen this person before in your life.
Yeah, that's right.
And it just hurts in your stomach.
Yep.
You know, and thankfully, they do feel that comfortable with me, and I know that part of it too, but it's still uncomfortable, and I have to be guarded, and... And it's not being rude or being distant or awful. It's just,
You have a narcissistic injury, but you're not narcissistic because you know there are comedians or celebrities who troop in here who have that experience that she was talking about every day, and they don't quite really give a shit.
No, they're like, no, they're and fine. I feel bad for these people because I am clumsy in social situations, and it's not that I'm Chick McGee. I'm a clumsy, only child, lonely guy sometimes.
And do you know that's in fact what is appealing and charismatic about what comes through?
Mm-hmm. It's all real. I'm not making any of this up. I wouldn't have this persona by choice, believe me.
But that's what's appealing and attractive to the listeners of the show.
Yeah.
You know, the characters on this show are much more revelatory than maybe they know. Right. I mean, you know, I've had the privilege of being poking in here for 15 years, and I know, you know, not only who Tom is, but what Tom is. I know who Bob is, what Bob is. I get Chick, I get Christy, sort of get it. That's why I think this is fabulous, because it's a raw expression of who you are. And you are made for this. You're made for the other stuff. You're brilliant at the other stuff, you know, the show stuff. Yeah. Keep on rocking. But you are made for this.
But thank you, Dr. Will. I'm working on accepting compliments.
Okay. I really urge you to have two different filters: the filter that you're struggling with when other people compliment you, and then the other filter, which is me, Will, talking to you, and I'm telling you the truth. Right. And so just shut the fuck up.
But I've run into it recently, and Jess knows this, that I thought I had a couple good friends, mm-hmm. and they are still. You know, okay, you know, but it turns out they, you know, hey, we got down the line and it was like, hey, can you tweet, you know, my new album's coming out, or mm-hmm. I'm going to be over here. Can you tweet that for me? Can you retweet this? And it's a little thing, and maybe.
But if somebody else, like if the gentleman you were going to lunch with or dinner with tonight, if he said, hey, would you do this favor for me? You wouldn't think twice.
He's having
so
incredible.
So it's just like he said, if you know their moral compass is good, you don't have a problem
that's
doing
right,
a favor
right,
for them.
Right.
But you know deep down that those other two people.
Your character radar is solid and you can tell the difference.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes. I can criticize you about something. Would you like to hear me criticize you?
I would like that. Okay. I would like that very much.
He accepts that easily.
I think you're you've been so battered. May sound melodramatic, but you've been so pummeled by these insecurities, and because you're in the public eye, it's almost this perfect storm that you're around people who behave as if they are friends, but they may or may not be, and it's hard to always. And because you're
constantly,
that's right. And then because you are an introvert and you don't spend a lot of time developing a clack of a lot of close relationships. Most people are strangers to you of varying levels of distance.
Right.
And so the ones who are closest in, you think they're okay. Well, all right, I'll put you over in this category. Mm-hmm. But there's so many others and you're not really sure. And so you're on the alert for when they're going to disappoint you. Oh, so you want tickets, is it? Well, now I'm going to put you over in this box.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes I realize that sometimes I might overreact. Maybe he was just, but... Maybe not.
No, maybe not. You're around people in show business, and let's face it, the epidemiology of narcissism is pretty damn high.
Yeah, genuineness is hard to come by.
You know, everyone's selling something.
Yeah.
Except Jess. Jess is not
selling. not that I know of.
No, it's authentic. It's real. It's, the real relationships. Jason's real.
Jason, are you real?
No.
Yes, you are. Knock it off, sir.
I think so.
No, you know what you get when you see me and you talk.
Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right.
True.
Yeah. That's right.
How long have we been on? About a week? How long has this show been going on? This is just one episode. Why are we doing a two-parter? What's going on here?
You're a genius.
Well, I appreciate all your kind words. And I think, did we do good? We did good, right?
We did great.
Are we going to help some people?
I think Dr. Will was just what you needed.
Yeah.
I am one who tries to manage expectations outwardly, mm-hmm. but inwardly I usually have very high expectations, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and this definitely exceeded them.
Yeah,
for a lot of reasons.
Oh, good.
Well, and and then next episode you're going to be back to kind of ribald comedy,
right?
and in the smorgasbord of this revelatory experience, this is a treasured moment. And it's good. And so I'm telling the audience, this was more special than, well, maybe if you're an intelligent audience member, and I know you are. But if you're a lunkhead, it's okay. It's okay. Perfectly okay to be a lunkhead. Just trust me on this. This was very good.
Did you know, you have any, I'm sure you must have, when you told me that one time, and I don't know how long ago you did, but the, one of the first appearances on the show, you immediately looked at, well, you hadn't talked that long, and you go, you need to say this. And I think you told me off the air first, and then we started talking about it off the air. He said, you need to repeat this in your brain. I am chick and I am fine.
And you still do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am chick and I am fine.
There's times where I've found him in a chair saying,
you know, years ago. I've also yelled at myself, shut up. But
years ago in the 50s, there was this book that's sold bazillions of copies called The Power of Positive Thinking. And he was a minister from New York. And so it was just sort of a
Norman Vincent Peale.
That's right. Exactly. And it was really like just a sort of a stand of advocacy, psycho-spiritually. Well, what's happened over the past several decades is brain research has come to the place where it's like, you know, Norm was right. The fact of the matter is, the more you consciously and cognitively go after envisioning positive thoughts to push away negative thoughts, the healthier, because it makes those grooves. Right. So if you can't do it by yourself within your own head talk, you do it with the experience of being around people who give you positive feedback. Jess loves you. All of the management of living stuff, that's just dressing, window dressing, really. The core is that you're loved. And those people and the feeling you get from those people. But it's also very, very rational for you to have come to this place kind of bumped and bruised by all of the stuff that's happened, piling on the fact that you're an artist, piling on the fact that you're an artist in a very quirky relationship where it's high energy, high octane for 4 hours a day, and then whoo. Right. And so there's some lifestyle changes that would be helpful to you. Mm-hmm. And then all of this will settle itself down.
So we didn't spend very much time on Jess. I feel
I'm
like
good.
Jess is fine.
I'm solid.
Jess is fine.
Fuck, I knew it.
We got deeper into her than I thought we would.
Well, here's what's good. Yeah. Here's what's good. Think about this, chick. You were attracted to someone this healthy.
Well, that's true, and
good work.
No. But the three of them, out there. One of them went, ow, right now. That's right. Yeah, I guess.
And you were attracted to him, though, as needy as he is, and you like taking care. You know he's good at heart. You know him better than he knows himself. You know what a rock solid individual he is, even if he's wounded and, you know, all of those.
I've been trying to tell him for 4 years.
Well, and as you said, you know, he might not believe it, but she believes it.
That's right.
He is chick and he's fine.
That's right.
He is chick and he is fine. And that's the biggest thing. Is that it's not as how many times have I told you, it's not as bad as you think it is.
That's right. You're a lovable bear.
Everything is like the end of the world. You know, and I know that, and it's not. Calm down.
No, I know you've killed a couple of people. But.
Just a drifter in Wyoming. I asked you not to. Thank you, Dr. Will, very much.
Thank
Anytime.
You.
I'm happy to come back down.
And this, Dr. Will has a podcast.
Yes, oh,
yes.
DrWill.com.
DrWill.com.
I talk about stuff you'd expect me to talk about.
Is it just right. You? Do you have guests?
No, I have guests. You know, because I'm at this big university, at Purdue University. And so, you know, I can get, I have physicists on. Well, that's probably not a good advertisement. Well, I had a woman on yesterday. She'll be on this week, who's an expert on birds.
Oh, okay.
Birding, yeah.
Oh, so, birding.
And
okay.
What I've done is I've kept it just like almost like a little NPR show, a little half hour a day. Mm-hmm. And it's on every
good.
Day. It's
oh,
on every
okay.
single day.
DrWill.com.
DrWill.com. It's called Dr. Will's Neighborhood.
Okay.
I'm kind of like a Mr. Rogers, only a little off.
All right.
I like it.
Okay.
Just a little.
Just a little. Yeah.
Thanks, Doc.
Okay.
Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
Love you guys.
We love you.
Dr. Will. Thank you, Jason.
Love you all.
I love you too, Jason. Sort of. But in a guy way. I don't want anybody thinking I'm gay, okay? I mean, I know that used to be a joke, but...
Okay.
Where's the music?
I thought you were just going to go.
Let's just go.
Oh. Good night, everybody. Thank you.